America. Sin-laden, evil-deluged, mesmerized, and brainwashed by the media. What will rouse you from a preoccupation with business, money, sports, entertainment, sex, and crime? Certainly not this world or its prince. In his own inimitable way, ever unique, ever logical, always Catholic to the very core, Father Hartin paints the picture of our beloved America, sunk in the mire of moral decay, still heading for even lower levels of turpitude. But, like the holy man of God that he is, he reveals the answer which will lead to a reconversion. How desperately we need to follow his advice. Will we turn a deaf ear? Father Hartin.
Our teleconference today is on the conversion of America through the Holy Eucharist. We begin with a rhetorical question. Does anyone doubt that America needs to be converted? When the Holy Father spoke to the youth in Denver this past summer, the urgent theme that he concentrated on was that America might not lose its soul. What was the Holy Father saying? The soul of America is Christianity. Christianity is a principle of our national life. As our nation becomes increasingly de-Christianized, it loses more and more of the source of its moral and spiritual vitality. Unless the moral disease is cured, America, as a nation we still call the United States, America will disappear. But there is another and deeper meaning to America's danger of losing its soul. Individuals lose their souls when they die estranged from God. There is such a thing as what St. John calls the second death, which means everlasting separation from God in what Jesus Christ calls eternal punishment. This is the awful prospect awaiting not just single persons, but whole societies, unless they repent and return to the God from whom they have separated by their stubborn resistance to his divine will. The conversion, therefore, that we are talking about is a turning of the will from oneself back to the God on whom we depend. Sin-laden America. It is remarkable what a dream world people can be living in. By all material standards, America is a prosperous nation. Condescendingly, our social scientists speak of other countries as undeveloped, as backward, indeed, as not much higher than barbarian. What folly. In terms of financial wealth, the United States is the envy of the world. We are, who doubts it, the best fed, the most expensively clothed, the most comfortably housed, the most conveniently transported, the most lavishly entertained large nation in human history. But we are also, how this needs to be said and shouted from the top of the Himalayas, America is also a world leader in sin. I like St. Augustine's definition. Sin, St. Augustine says, is nothing else than the neglect of eternal things and seeking after temporal things. Unquote, Augustine. In other words, the very appearance of our country in having access to so many satisfying creatures here on earth is a demonic seduction that lures people from the love of eternal things. Here is St. Augustine in his book, The City of God, which I commend to every Catholic to read, the Civitate Dei, the City of God. Says Augustine, the human race can be divided into two classes of people. Those who love God even to the contempt of themselves, and those who love themselves even to the contempt of God. Where do we begin to describe the sinful state of our beloved country? A fair barometer for making an honest estimate is our media of social communications. What do they tell us in thousands of pages of print in the newspapers each day, in thousands of hours of radio and television time 7 days a week? What is the message? What else? Crime and money, sex and entertainment, sports and business. I repeat, crime and money, sex and entertainment, sports and business. Onto the minds of millions of Americans are mesmerized into thinking of nothing else than what the media want the people to think. Most Americans are hypnotized. Most Americans are brainwashed. I never tire quoting in one lecture after another a single sentence statement of the Canadian philosopher Marshall McLuhan. Says McLuhan, the modern media of communication are engaged in a Luciferian conspiracy against the truth. To which I answer, amen. What has been the effect of this Luciferian conspiracy? What else and accept what Lucifer wants to create. Inevitably, it has led our nation into such an ocean of sin that we have to go back to the worst ages of the pre-Christian Roman Empire to find anything so degraded. Murder is now legalized in the bestial dismemberment of unborn children in their mother's wombs. And so far from decrying this, there are religious leaders, may God forgive them. There are some who even dare call themselves Catholics. What blasphemy! Who are blessing these crimes, especially those in political leadership in our nation. Sodomy is widely publicized, and sodomists are engaging in a network of sex education programs, such as are aimed at destroying every vestige of chastity among the young. Contraception has developed into an exact science, and adultery has become a fine art. But the worst form of sin in America is not manifest in the crimes of lust and lechery. It is especially in the widespread neglect of prayer and the worship of God. A standard book of quotations have statements like this. I quote just a few. God give me strength not to trust in God. Again, all the errors and incompetencies of the Creator reach their climax in man. We must be greater than God, for we have to undo His injustice. This is not cheap humor. This is found in the books published by allegedly intelligent people, one volume after another, is written consciously to discredit the Almighty. Given these statements expressed in books and monographs in our schools today, is it any wonder there is such indifference to God and His glory? Blasphemies are quoted at pleasure, but prayer in public schools is forbidden by law. We go on. Remember, the subject on which we are speaking is the conversion of America through the Holy Eucharist. Christ the miracle worker in the Holy Eucharist. As professed Catholics, we believe that when God became man in the person of Jesus Christ, He lived visibly on earth for only some 33 years. He took on our human nature so that he might have a body and a soul that could be separated by death, and that he might have a human free will to offer himself willingly on the cross for our salvation. Let me repeat and emphasize. Over the years, I've taught too much Christology. I've taught the theology of the Holy Eucharist to too many people not to know how imperative it is for us to really understand what we believe. God became man for two basic reasons. He became man that he might have a human body and a human soul that could separate by his physical death on Calvary. That's why God, in becoming incarnate, assumed a body and a soul. But God also, in becoming incarnate, assumed a human free will. Why? Because when God became man, he wanted to choose to suffer and die. That is why he had a free will. The essence of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, I repeat, the essence was his willingness to die. Not to know that is not to begin to understand the mystery of the Holy Eucharist. We go on. The night before Jesus died, he instituted a marvelous way of remaining with us in the fullness, hear it, in the fullness of his humanity until the end of time. Memorize this. Etch it into your minds. Christ instituted the Holy Eucharist so that he might be able to remain with us as man until the end of time. In the Holy Eucharist is the same identical Jesus who was conceived by Mary at Nazareth, carried by her for 9 months in her womb before she delivered him in Bethlehem. The Eucharist began at Nazareth in the womb of Mary. Except for her, God could not have assumed a human body and human blood. And because he assumed a human body and human blood from his mother, therefore, at the Last Supper, he could pronounce the words over what had been bread and declare, "This is my body," and declare over the chalice of wine, "This is my blood." It is the self-same Jesus who died on the cross, who rose from the dead on Easter Sunday, and then ascended into heaven, but hear it, but did not leave earth. Jesus Christ is on earth in the Holy Eucharist. To believe that and to know that is to be a Catholic. to either not believe that or not know that is not to be a Catholic. We go on. Why is Christ here on earth in the Holy Eucharist? In the fullness, I repeat, of his humanity and divinity. He is here because he wants to continue doing now, elsewhere in the world, but for our purpose, wants to continue doing now in America what he had done in Palestine 19 plus centuries ago. What does he want to do? He wants to exercise his almighty power by working miracles now in our country, as he had performed in Judea at the dawn of Christianity. What kind of miracles do the evangelists record of the Savior in his day when he lived here it visibly on earth? Jesus Christ is on earth, invisibly to the human eyes, but visible to the eyes of faith. What kind of miracles do the evangelists describe Jesus as performing visibly in Palestine? There were first of all physical miracles, like healing the sick and the blind, and even raising the dead back to life. There were intellectual miracles, like enlightening Elizabeth to recognize Mary as the Mother of God at the Visitation. Jesus in his mother's womb, John in his mother's womb, Jesus enlightened Elizabeth to recognize his mother Mary as the mother of Elizabeth's Lord. But, and this is the principal focus of our conference this evening, there were also and especially what we call in theology moral miracles, as when Christ converted the Samaritan woman at the well, as when Christ converted the repentant thief who, because he believed, was crucified with Christ on Calvary and promised what a canonization, and promised, this day you will be with me in paradise. Those he called moral miracles.